Welcome to Marketing Money Podcast. Roll it. Welcome back to the Marketing Money Podcast. We're hiatus number two, but we're back from hiatus, the low hiatus, the middle hiatus.
Summers are tough. I mean, you and I, seriously.
I've seen a month.
A month. I mean, yeah, because I was out for 2 weeks, you're out for 2 weeks. I'm out next week, you're out next week. Yep.
Roadshow. Yeah. Gotta tell everybody what's going on. You're out there drumming up the business, kicking the can.
No more business. We're not adding business.
You're out of business?
No, we're not. Out of business, we're not adding business.
Too much business.
We're full.
Life is good.
We're full.
Full. Fulled up.
Fulled up. Unless you're really cool and have a lot of money, then we'll.
Then you'll make it.
My integrity.
You're no. Like the. Are you on the live tour with PGA?
Oh yeah, that's yes. I am. I'm. Yeah, that's just. I'm here for the money.
We don't like them. We're not taking their money. Guess what?
We took their money.
We took their money.
Yeah, if you don't. I mean, I would say most of our audience probably isn't that into golf, I would assume.
Well, funny that you said that. I had this, so it was big news to me because I love golf. We sponsor some golfers.
Such a big deal.
It's a big deal.
I don't love, I've watched 30 minutes of professional golf.
Well, it's funny because I was at one of my kids' events the other night and the parents were standing around that I'm friends with and I said, hey, you see that golf screen? They're like, nah. I was like, the live golf thing. And they were like, what's that? And I was just like, and then I was like, I'm the nerd. I realized like I'm the nerd here.
Let me see if I can do the layperson explanation. So Live Golf Tour started by basically the Saudi state, like a lot of people who are
public investment fund, which is the big fund. It's basically backed by Saudi oil money.
Yeah.
When it comes down
when
to
when you
it.
Get over in there, it's anyway, whatever. So their whole shtick that it was known in the sports world was just paying the better golfers.
It's a $600 billion fund.
And so they used their money to just go out and pay, like
they created a golf league.
Phil Mickelson,
yeah, right? Phil Mickelson, Brooks Koepka.
They
Bryce
went. They
Chambeau.
Left the PGA Tour, so it'd be like if there was a everybody's
well, the XFL's
retired.
One. So like they're trying to say NFL.
Yeah, but I'm just trying to think of who's the biggest stars in the NFL right now because everybody I know.
If they said
retired.
Patrick Mahomes is going to come play quarterback and we're going to pay him $100 million, yeah,
it's
to
all
join our league.
It was all obviously money.
Steve Young did that.
Yeah,
remember he went to the XFL or the whatever it was at the time.
It would be like a rival league to MLB, NBA, or whatever, but it was obvious. It's just money. And all the players that signed said, I can't turn down this money. The second factor was a less rigorous schedule.
Yes, 54-hole no-cut tournaments.
Yeah.
So you play 72-cut tournaments in PGA.
LIV is an interesting and unique name. So where do names come from? It's based on the Roman numerals because it's a 54-hole tournament.
Pretty
did
cool.
You know that?
Pretty cool. I feel like I've read that, but I don't know.
So I was like, where did LIV come from? It's actually just LIV.
I feel like that.
For Roman numerals for 54.
Maybe I didn't know that. It's one of those things where like I felt like I've had this conversation, but maybe I didn't.
But how do you come up with a new name? That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But
And they could wear shorts. They did like music. It was a very party scene.
Where PGA has been very
stoic rules, like, you know, don't move, just sit still, play golf, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I mean,
LIV was like your weekend, like, I don't know, party golf.
Your funnest dad.
Yeah.
Still golf.
Yeah.
So still, but.
But paying more. Like, you win a tournament, it's $4 million.
And bigger paydays for everybody else.
Everybody, and they have a team payday. So you're playing in these tournaments as a team and individual. So they were like changing the rules to make it more like a country club, like fun invitational with your buddy tournament versus like going and playing in the Colonial or the Memorial and the PGA, which is much more 72 holes all by yourself, you know, no wear pants. I know that sounds funny, but like that was a thing because it's hot during the summer. You're playing golf and they have to wear slacks.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of like and the music, bump music when you walk up, you know, all this
stuff.
Yeah,
more like if you're familiar with golf, it's kind of like what those guys did is looked at the waste management tournament
and said,
let's do that for all of them.
Waste management, I think it's 16, whatever, the par three, that's the big party hole.
Yeah.
I think it's number 16, the par three. They said, let's take that experience and try to make it the entire league.
And a little better.
Yeah.
So, well.
And pay people a lot of money.
Yeah, all
like,
of that.
Like millions of dollars.
And so PGA's knock back to it is it's not all about the money. It's not all about this.
Well, and the Saudi money is, you know, whatever, it's corrupt, blah, 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 human rights, all this stuff. I think they get what we're saying.
It was easy to critique from this old stuffy organization.
Because it's a risk. It's just like in banking. Credit unions show up and they don't pay what you do and they're doing stuff and you're like, wait a second.
Yep, surprise.
Wait, how are they getting to do all this stuff?
Yep, surprise, surprise. Monday.
When
Monday they announced Tuesday that they merged.
Yeah.
But Liv bought them, the PGA Tour, which is really weird. You think about, like, can someone buy MLB baseball? Like, organization.
So they're saying they didn't buy it. It's weird. A merger. They didn't buy. We're setting up this thing because we do our dates so everyone can play on every tournament.
Because PGA's nonprofit.
Yes, and the new one's got to be for-profit.
Partially.
Yeah.
So it's a really weird deal. Anyway, then I guess beware what you say in your messaging, because the glass houses thing is now PGA who critiqued their golfers for going and just chasing the money.
Yeah. And now the league chased the money.
Yeah. So,
well, because two things. One, the amount spent when they did these new tournaments, they had to compete to keep players. So they raised their paydays, their payouts. Mm-hmm. And I think it was unsustainable. One. Yeah. Secondly, they were in this massive legal battle and they were going to have to be deposed. Is that the right word? Deposed?
Deposed is a word.
And when they did, I think a lot of the...
Disposing of people, I think, is illegal.
Well, that's not what we're doing. But they were going to go... when it went to court, I think the transparency that would have had to have been given in the depositions would have, like, exposed both sides to... I don't know what. Like, I don't know enough about, like, what goes on behind the scenes. But I think there was a lot of stuff that they were just like, we can't let the public or the players know about
Think about negotiate. Like, when Sony's data breach happened, which was just someone stealing credentials.
Yeah.
When you find out that changed the entertainment industry because you had openness on how Sony negotiated with its movie stars and things like that. And so you really saw that transparency. So I think that was probably the biggest thing. Anyway, probably not that interesting to all of y'all. Barely interesting to me because I'm not a big golf fan. But in the zeitgeist of humanity right now, it's just one of those things that even me on the fringes, I knew about, and I know a lot of people don't, is that whole, like, we don't do it for the money, but we did it for the money. How do you reconcile that in the public? The good news for that, there, it's funny that even though that problem exists, the way I assess it from the outside is 95% of Americans don't care, don't know about it.
Don't know and don't care.
Yeah.
The media will care. I think there's going to be some politicians that care. There's a 9/11 families organization that's already in protest.
Because
Saudi money.
But just because they're Arabic. I mean, that's kind of...
Well, there is studied links to Saudi backgrounds from the 9/11 hijackers. Right. And so there's some tie. They're protesting as a tie to the dollars going into the league.
But what's really
That's fair and fair, that's not for me to decide. Yeah.
But what's really funny is I think the golf fans, and correct me if I'm wrong as a golf fan, are excited because now it's going to be more... All golf could be... I mean, things like Augusta is going to be the...
Well, they're the not...
The Masters.
The majors. The four majors.
The Masters is a,
The Masters. But, you know, there's four majors, and they call the fifth major the Players. The Masters, British Open, PGA, and US Open.
They're still PGA.
Well, they are, other than the PGA, they are separate entities.
Oh, yeah.
So the Masters is not related to
That's right.
They use the tour performance as qualifiers, the Masters can do what they want to. The US Open has its own qualifying, so the LIV golfers could play in those tournaments. Like,
that's right.
British, because they are not... They're related to the tour as they use it, the feeder data, the performance to select their field, but they're not like the Masters wanted to say we're an all amateur tournament next year, it's just amateurs, they can do it. But you know, you wouldn't get the audience or whatever. So my point in telling you that is the four majors don't really matter for this event other than the LIV golfers being able to get criteria to get into the majors.
That shows you where I am on the fringe. Yeah. I knew that, but didn't know something that had been around for
years. Now if you're not a golfer, you're like, oh, that's super boring. But
but here's what I would say. If you say that, I get it, but you're welcome for giving you some education on something you weren't interested about. So when you do hear about it in the water cooler talk.
Oh, the fifth or sixth most popular sport viewing in America. And it's the most popular played sport in America.
Yeah.
Because you can play it any age. But the point of that is viewing is probably fourth or fifth by an NBA, NFL, baseball. It's probably somewhere in there. But point being is understanding the dollars that came in, now it's, you know, it's a global, because it also pulled in the European PGA Tour. So it's not just PGA America and LIV Golf. It's got the European Tour. So it's got three tours tied together so they can work their dates out, their payments out, how they qualify for tournaments. It's good for golf.
Yeah.
I think the hypocrisy of both sides shouting at each other for a year and a half.
But that just kind of happens in competition,
too. Yeah, it does.
You don't ever think you're going to merge. I mean, I don't think anybody raised their hand inside either organization early on. It was like, hey, guys, we probably need to keep our mouths shut.
You know who the biggest losers are in this deal? The lawyers that were fighting those court battles. They were printing cash.
Well, let me give a big old tear for them.
They were printing cash.
So speaking of like
cash
and funds and all of that.
So what's going on in the world today in banks?
CDs.
Hot money.
Hot money.
It's getting hot in here. Give me all your money. Anyway, the hot money's hot money right now.
Yeah.
There's rates above 5%.
Yeah.
Out there for like short term too.
Yeah, but here's the thing, as we discovered, not really discovered, as reinforced, is a 7% rate APY on 4 months or on 6 months is an effective rate. You only get the 6 months of the. Yeah.
So some things that you should do in your discovery of CDs when, because I've, funny thing is, I've been doing bank marketing for roughly 18 years now, approximately, before my previous careers, or after my previous careers. Yeah.
Oh, so, time traveler.
Yeah, time traveler. Put me in the portal, transfer portal. I always used to say, and you laughed at me because I was like, we're not going to do CD campaigns or ads anymore. There's just no, we're fat on deposits.
You're like the PGA. We're never going to do it.
We're never going to do that. Why would we do that? There's no reason. Oh, money.
Capital constraints.
So then the old pendulum went loans.
Because we're flush with cash.
Because everyone had cash. Pandemic payouts, government funding.
Let's lend all this
new
out.
Business money from digital, like all this stuff. And then it swings and all of a sudden everybody's like, oh, wait, we spent all our money.
And borrowing it from the Fed is cost prohibitive.
And inflation was running at an all-time high. The economy had to cool off. People weren't going back to work. There's so many equations
Well, you're saying that like it's past is having to cool off and people aren't going back to work.
And so all this is happening. And so banks need deposits. And then on top of all that, there's been two or three massive bank failures within the past few months. And so that attacks the whole deposit. Because it's like, well, I need to move my money because it's not FDIC insured, or I need a solution for it with CDARS or whatever else there is out there. So like all this is happening. And the general bank is, we need deposits. Yeah. That's like the theme with every bank right now.
Yeah, it is. It's an odd place because here's the thing that I would say first off, CDs work.
They do work.
They work for a lot of factors. As disdainful as both you and I have been at parts of our career of it as a, it's just not a fun thing to market.
It's not, I think it's like, and look, it's, we want all the CDs in the world. Yes. So when I'm saying this, it is like, it's like dumb product marketing. I mean, I know it sounds kind of, but it's like.
But here's why. It's like, it's guaranteed to work and it's FDIC insured up to $250,000.
Yeah.
And so it's like, you want it, and then all it is a rate thing. I mean,
it is absolutely a rate thing.
So it's very difficult as a marketer to differentiate. There is no old, go back to our previous podcast.
Get the best CD, our CD out, CD's yours. Our free or checking is freer than yours.
But personal service, it doesn't.
Dude, you can.
If you gave me an 8% rate.
You can open online. You don't even need to go in the bank.
No, if you went, not from a neutral, if you treated me like that restaurant Dick's Last Resort and put a funny hat on my head that said terrible things about me.
Yeah.
But you're giving me 8%, which is ridiculous. I mean, nobody's doing that. But I'm just saying, like,
there's ones up near 6.
If you gave me the rate big enough, I'm like, whatever. Clown on me, dog.
Whatever. I'll be in 11 months and get my return.
Yeah. So if that's all true, why are CDs even worth talking about on this podcast? I do believe, even though they work well, let me go through why I think they work well. One, banks can sell CDs like crazy. I mean, we've seen the numbers. When banks advertise CDs, new deposits will come in. It's like magic. I mean, it really is. With no other factor than having a really vigorous ALCO meeting and everybody agreeing on a rate, and going out there
and discussing your cannibalization.
Yeah.
Because you can mess your margin up badly if you go in and be like, let's reprice everyone's deposits.
Yeah. And so people have obviously found language of like, yeah, we'll give you this rate, but it requires X amount of new money. We'll transfer over your existing account. I don't know if y'all have done that. I haven't looked.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, you make concessions when there concessions are needed.
There are repricing strategies.
There are, yeah.
But it works. And on the consumer side, I think it's a particularly interesting product right now, given the bank failures and the whatever, that I don't think enough people – it's really weird. Banks went out with this like safe and sound message that you and I kind of critiqued, like don't make it a big deal. When you're doing that, why wouldn't we put our safe and sound message with our CD? Because it is insured. It is a deposit product. It is insured. We don't have to put not made. It is guaranteed to go up in value.
Yeah.
And it's insured. So it's a really good product for the consumer who is conservative.
And has flow, as they call it. It can't be someone who's leveraged and doesn't, you've got to have.
So for everybody, it's kind of a guaranteed thing. Again, without the nuance of cannibalizing, you know, it's.
And competitive rating and make sure you're not just smashing your mark. Well, it's got to be below what you could borrow it for from home loan.
Otherwise, why do it?
Just go borrow a bunch of money, loan it out higher and pay it back. Yeah. I mean, it's
if you are capitalizing, I mean, there are constraints to do that too.
Yes, there is.
So it's so all that stuff winds up being a mix in the true operation. Sorry to give you another boring podcast where we actually talk about the mechanics of banking, different from the last boring podcast, but it's a really good product, but it's, so here's the problems with it. So if it's perfect, why would we talk about it? One, when we really get down to it, and this is an industry-wide thing that I have questions about, is hot money really good for banks ultimately? Or does it create a problem in a dependency that we're not addressing? Is it going to create some other bank issues? I have concerns about that because it's easy. It's there. It's done. It's a little bit like a drug. Just tap the vein and, you know, come on, give me some more of that drug. For the consumer on the other side and the discerning consumer, even with the highest interest rates we've ever seen, it's a pretty low return, even though it's guaranteed. But that's the thing with guarantees.
That's why it's guaranteed. It's a sure thing.
We know that even the lowliest armchair investor risk.
Well, the lower the risk, the lower the payout.
Yeah,
the higher the risk, because it's risky. You might make 100% back, 200% back, but you might lose it all because the high risk, it's gambling.
Absolutely it is. So
I choose a bad golfer to win the Masters who barely qualifies, and he wins, and I put $5. I might win $10,000 on it, but I picked the number one golfer in the world and put $5. I might win $7. Back.
Yeah, you'll probably win less than your original bet.
You'll
win three.
Yeah, it depends on the risk.
The payout isn't even. It's actually below the original amount because, again, it's more guaranteed. I am wondering, just to be the pundit, what happens when new people who haven't had CDs before, who didn't really do the math and didn't look at the APY calculator, put $10,000 in with what everybody's telling them is a ridiculous rate, and they come back 12 months later,
$400,
and it's $487 or $500. They're just like, wait, I put $10,000 in and I got $500. Well, the explanation that you and I are doing makes total sense, but you're still like, wait, it's only $500 with $10,000?
No risk.
But it's no risk. Yeah. So I get the positivity of it, but what we can't dilute is customer sentiment.
Yeah.
That even though it makes sense, even I go back to the last podcast, banks assume what people should know. Like, hey guys, it wasn't risky.
That's one. My other one is two banks out there. I work for a bank, ours included. And this is more of like a retail sales strategy. What is your strategy? Which I hate when people ask that because it means you don't know. But what is your strategy for trying to turn those CD customers into real bank customers? Because there's a difference between a hot customer and a regular customer.
That's the other big problem is do you have your onboarding in place and do you have your nurturing or cross-selling in place? If your management in your bank is coming to you putting pressure on the CD rate, where are my CD rate ads, newspaper, blah, 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 and they're not helping you implement things like marketing automation, emailing.
Yeah. You ought to have all the CDs should be bunched together in Salesforce and then pick through with product comparison. Like, do they already have a checking account with us? Do they have nothing with us? And look, I'm not of the innocence that, oh, they'll love to bang. Like, look, there's real hot money out there. They may have no intention of ever doing anything, but moving that money from bank to bank.
But somebody told me you miss all of the shots you don't take.
Yeah.
So I would.
Michael Scott, Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah. So no, I thought, is that it? Yeah. I always thought Wayne Gretzky you miss all the shots?
I think it was Wayne Gretzky.
Skate to where the puck's going.
I think it was Wayne Gretzky, Michael Scott.
Yeah,
Michael Scott.
Yeah, because he said that Wayne Gretzky. Yeah. Anyway, by the time you get them implemented, we're going to be flush with cash and be back. The pendulum is going to swing back the other way, and it's going to be loan.
Yeah, but I think you still have to take the shot, as you said. Like, is it automated? Is it
just looking at the core data?
Is it inviting them to something? Because you look at, they've obviously got money, and if all they have with you is a CD, they're banking somewhere else. Can you offer them a better experience with your bank to move their money? And does your checking product that you want to put them into, which they don't want, because otherwise they would have had it with your bank. Yeah. Can you offer them through the contact that the CD created? It created a line.
Well, here's the thing. We have to treat CDs to a bit, even though they are helping the bank, a bit like loss leaders.
Yeah, agree.
In retail marketing, that you didn't just get a CD and $10,000 in deposits from this person. You got a lead.
Yeah.
And we're not treating it like a lead.
Yeah.
I think almost, maybe I'm being too hyperbolic, but almost invariably across banks. Now, obviously the ones that I work with, you know, but I think we said in this podcast or last one, I'm not taking any new clients, so it doesn't matter. If you're not treating that like a lead, that then you can turn around. Again, you said Salesforce. I'm talking about marketing automation. Let's take those things out of.
You don't even have them. Let's say you don't even have them.
Just go to your whoever's over retail, over the data in core, and pull. Surely you can pull data that is who has CDs only.
Yeah.
And give them to bankers. Give them another little rate. Bring another blank.
Keep your money with us.
Yeah. Convert it over to this deposit, and we'll do this for you.
You could get a trailing maturity date list. We've got I know we do that. We're not the premier data bank. We do well, but my point is get that list, hack through it, look what you can do with them. Like, you know, this day, 1,600 customers are going to mature at this rate. Do you offer them a new one before they even come in the bank and say, continue on? Do you say, hey, move that into checking? Our checking account pays 3%, so you can get less, but your money is then more liquid. Like, there's strategies here depending on your bank and what you need and what your appetite is.
Otherwise, I go back to the macro problem. Otherwise, you're creating at least controllable or knowable deposit roll-off.
Yeah.
But it's still not good.
But you know what's happening.
You know when it's going to happen. You know what's going to happen, which is, again, not bad, but not the better source of then figuring out solutions to keep that money in the bank in a regular account, a higher yield savings.
And here's a novel thought. Can you bring your financial advisory groups in and say, hey, this person just put $50,000 in a CD for this return. They're going to pull the money out. Can we say, hey, could you invest this with us?
I think depending on whether it's investment services or trust and wealth, there's a Graham Leach Bliley issue with that.
And there may be.
Because there's a one-way street there with data sharing in investments and in insurance.
I don't know that that's totally true with investments. I'm pretty sure it's true with – I know it's true with insurance.
It's part of – that's why you have companies like LPL that are actually outside the bank because they don't even work with the bank.
But the – that's if you put them on the platform. You can still sell them on discussing business with a financial advisor.
It's just the direct data trade. Well, so check with your compliance department. Just what I would say.
Well, you know, and especially
Here's the deal. I've said over and over. I don't know every regulatory issue.
Yeah, somebody. But in your
I know
bank
enough
should.
To ask a question.
Yeah. Oh, again. Before but anybody does, or we would do this, it would be sit down with compliance, us, marketing, sales, retail, and go through, like, what's the process for moving this list to this person? And they may say, you can't do
that. Regardless, there's a group that can, within the bank, within the core bank, yes, you can sell them a checking account and then go from there.
Yeah, agree.
I know you can do that.
Agree. Yeah, there is. A couple things to add in there. CDs are hot right now. You're probably, if you're a marketer, this may be, community banks seemed in the past to rely more on CDs than regional banks and larger banks, although we all had them. So you would see a CD campaign for a smaller bank in a newspaper if you still did print ads. But I think today, almost everyone's trying to ride CDs. And then you've got groups like Apple put out the new savings account, made $4 billion in a day.
Here's the funniest thing about that.
Funny, haha, or funny, like interesting funny?
Yes, both. it is in 2023 that bankers haven't learned not to be hee-haw about this stuff, where they're like, oh, Apple's not going to do anything. It's that's for so-and-so. Like,
well, they have a bank, though. It's Goldman Sachs.
Right, right.
And Apple's just using their brand to drive.
Are Goldman's using Apple's? I can't figure
it's either
out.
Way.
But my point is, it's like, I heard a lot of bankers like minimize that. I'm like,
$4 billion.
Yeah, it's $4 billion.
Yeah. The money they made in one day in savings account is bigger than, like, I think, don't quote me on this, but like 60% of the asset size of banks in America. So anyway, as you're looking over your CD strategies.
The last thing I want to throw something else in for you.
He's throwing something in the CDs. I'm
step back three. Is, and I've said this before CDs were popular, so I know nobody listened to me. I go back to why CDs are a good product. Everybody right now, we've talked about newspaper advertising for CDs over and over and over because we know old people have a higher propensity to older Americans have a higher propensity to adopt CDs. With what we talked about with banking turmoil and what I said earlier about guarantees and all that, if we don't start figuring out how to advertise CDs to younger people and giving them a reason to do it instead of just saying to old people because they know and it doesn't take much effort to convince them.
Well, and they've got money. Don't forget the key part
they
of that
do,
equation.
But, and I'm not talking about the millennial that everybody's joke, like Zales tells me to buy a diamond, but I can't afford my rent. That meme is, I get it. But also we say this every year, we have a generational wealth that's about to transfer maybe to broke people. I don't know if we believe what, but there's going to be a generational transfer of wealth.
Yeah, it started. Millennials are the upper end of the millennial demo now are the wealth is coming.
So we have to stop saying old people have money, young people are broke because, well, one, young people, millennials ain't as young as they used to be.
No, millennials are in their 30s now.
Yeah. And their parents are passing away and passing on money.
Yeah.
But all I'm saying is there's a group of people that we haven't educated the benefits of a CD and that guarantee with a look, this is a great rate, but is absolutely low risk. It is FDIC insured. And to me, that is a message for someone who is a novice in investing, would love to hear, and would make it a very attractive product to them without a hell heck of a lot of heavy lifting.
Yeah, it is.
But we don't do it. It's just like rates,
well,
4.67.
There was a liquid CD product that some banks have, yeah. A hybrid CD product.
Well, but there's money markets.
Yeah, yeah, it's
with a variable. But
you
again,
can go higher than money market, lower than CD, and come up with a way where it's almost like a savings account where you can do it three to six withdrawals a year or whatever. Yeah. But you got a lot of options out there. I think it's like it always is. If you have money, there are a lot of options for you. If you don't, there's not a lot of options.
Yeah.
But the banks that can plan strategery around onboarding the CD customers, transferring them into wealth management programs or checking programs that pay high rates and offer a different experience from their current bank and that can capitalize, no pun in that word, on single CD product holders, single households, products to expand the old wallet share, to use some nomenclature, can win in this environment. And I think it's a great opportunity to actually add more customers than we could have just a few months ago when everyone was like, I got cash. I don't need a bank. I'm just out here spending money.
Well, just like anything else that's a parity product, which CDs within banking certainly are probably double parity, you're going to find your success in the nuance and in the margin. And that's going to be the things like the continuous follow-up and all of that. And the thing is, as we say this, if everybody on the podcast listens to it, all we're doing is create a problem where customer A has a core deposit account with bank A.
Yeah.
Yet put some CD money in bank B, and then customer B has this core deposit account with bank B, yet is putting some CD money in bank A. They'll just trade customers.
Yeah. Or hopefully you outplay the other one and get both of them.
Yep. That's the margin.
Yeah. So anyway, CDs, certificate of deposits, enjoy them.
I thought we were talking about the music disc the whole time.
We tried. We did a cutesy little ad on that. So anyway, for the money, marketing money, marketing and money and money and marketing.
John and Josh, see ya.
Later. We'll be right back.
Views and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individual participants and do not reflect the official policy or position of any financial institution or agency, Renasant Corporation, Renasant Bank and its affiliates, or the Mabus Agency. For more information, please visit marketingmoneypodcast.com.